Good afternoon, I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for this 59th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Olena Babak. She is a classically trained artist and portrait painter who came to the United States 15 years ago from Ukraine and has lived in Maine off and on since. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Olena.
Thank you.
Such a pleasure to have you here on this utterly perfect day.
I know, it's so beautiful outside.
I hated to come inside other than I love to come inside and be on the radio. So I think we'll start at the very beginning. You know, I'm not sure what people really know and understand in general about Ukraine. I'll start framing it just a little bit. It's about the size of Texas, 44 million people.
That's about right. Yep. A little bit bigger than France from what I know, but you know, now it's keep changing. So who knows what's going to happen next.
You have to be adaptable if you live in Ukraine.
Yep. Well, the name of the country, actually, Ukraine, it's, if you translate, it's like on the border. So,
oh, it is.
Maybe that's what's all happening, but who knows?
And it borders the Black Sea, Russia, Romania, Hungary, Poland, Slovakia, and Belarus.
Yep, quite a neighborhood, you know. And Turkey across the sea, so it's like all kinds of neighborhoods, all kinds of languages and cultures.
That's great. So what can you tell us about life in Ukraine, where you were raised?
I'm pretty much grew up just like any kid here, just, you know, doing the bicycling and riding around and enjoying the summers on the Black Sea. And I grew up actually in a big city. I grew up in Kharkiv, which is the metropolitan area, and it's the most science and education area. It's like pretty much at any point, you will probably find close to 60,000 scientists working on different various projects. So it's a lot of scientific labs and colleges in that city. It's actually considered to be a Silicon Valley of Ukraine.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
So, but my summers spent outside in the summer places at my grandparents, at our summer places, you know, kind of, you know, enjoying the beautiful warm weather and rivers and sailing and all that stuff.
Did the climate somewhat resemble that of Maine?
To some degree. Maine is a little bit colder, I have to say. Ukraine is a little bit, at least where I'm from, is a little bit warmer. It's probably closer to Virginia. Virginia, New York, but yeah, winter here is a little bit longer.
Yes, we know how to do long winters. So what was your family like? What did your parents do and what did they want for you?
My father is a scientist and educator, and my mom is also an educator. She's a teacher. She taught music and chorus all her life. And my father, I always kind of, you know, joking about it. You know, when they ask you, who's your dad? You know, who's your dad? And you're just saying, well, my dad is a rocket scientist. Well, in my case, it's true. So I always kind of laugh about it every time I say it, but My dad ran one of the science labs, and he published a couple books, and he was very passionate about literature as well as the science. So for him, it was just follow your dream, and everything else you will find on the way. So, and that's really kind of the way how I grew up and the way how I was brought up. So just go and experience, do things, and find your way.
And they were supportive of you finding your way, right? You became an artist. And so what did they think of you being an artist?
That's actually kind of interesting. My mom really loved this idea of me being an artist, as well as my dad. But at the same time, they really did not know any other artists. So I kind of had to find my own way to do this. It's even like when I was my first place that I started studying, it was a school for teenagers. And, well, in the city, you take public transportation.
Is it like plus, an arts high school?
Yeah, it's, no, it's like it's a little bit early. I guess it's like a middle school into high school. So I said, well, I want to study art. And my parents said, well, we can't take you there. And I'm like, it's okay. So I took a public transportation, filled out the paperwork by myself, and came back home and said, hey, I filled out the paperwork. I have to do this because I need to do it. And they're like, okay, fine. So that's how I ended up doing this. And then they have exams and all that stuff. So I signed up for the exam, like, got ready. And I took three, it's usually three exams, three painting exams. And I took three, and the fourth one, I got so sick. And my mom did not let me go because I was running fever. And it just happened. So I was devastated, almost cried. And but luckily, the director of the school called back and say, hey, do you want your daughter to take last exam? Because we really liked your work and we did not know why she didn't show up for the last one. So that's kind of a, fortunately, I ended up studying there. Eventually, like this year that I applied. But you know, my parents always like, if you want to go, and do it, go get it. It's your choice, it's your life. So
lovely. If everyone were so supportive of what their kid needed to do. I love that. What kind of training did you receive in Ukraine after your high school training?
Well, I actually did go to the high school, art high school, and then my parents kind of played a little bit different role because I was I went to the art college, and I also I went to college where I got a degree in clothes design because my parents decided that I really need to be more practical and do something besides art. But meanwhile, I did everything I need to get my degree, but most of my times I was spending in the studios painting or drawing. So
your true calling.
It's just kind of, you know, like, well, if they wanted me to do it, I'll do it. But at the same time, you know, I passed the exams, and that's all that is important. Everything else, you know, you just do what you need to do. And my calling was being in a studio, painting still lifes, painting models, and doing everything I possibly can to continue with my art.
And yet you still design clothes.
Yes, I did. I don't do this anymore. It's really, the design is actually more fascinating to me than the actual making of clothes. And that's pretty much where it's kind of came to the stop for me. I love designing it.
So you came to the United States 15 years ago with no English at all. And I wondered if you can tell us what your father told you was most important to know and if that actually proved to be so.
Well, yes, I'm not very fortunate in learning languages. It comes very difficult. And my English teacher was completely horrified because I really never studied. And it just comes very difficult to me. And when I was leaving, my father pretty much looked at me, shook his head and said, well, can you say help me in English? I said, yes. And then you need to say, I can't speak English. And hopefully someone will come along who can translate and get you out of trouble. So, you know, help me helped.
And did you use it?
Well, you know, it's amazing what they say. It's amazing what you can get just for asking. So apparently help me. It's a good thing, you know, it's you ask and people try to figure out because, you know, people are actually really good. People in general are very good and they always will try to assist someone and help someone who is in trouble. And obviously, you know, since they don't know what I'm saying, I must be in trouble. So.
So once you were in the United States, what drew you to Maine specifically?
I actually moved to Maine because I wanted to be in a community that spoke only English. And previously I lived in New Hampshire and it was a community where at least the initial place that I came to, most of the people, well actually all of the people that I knew for the first month spoke only Russian, Ukrainian or Armenian. And for me to be in a country, different country, part of being in a country, it's being able to understand the culture, understand other people, and be part of it. And without language, it's very difficult, next to impossible. And that's one of the reasons why Maine happened to be a place that provided this for me. And I kind of fell in love. Well, you know, you cannot fall in love with Maine. Maine is so beautiful. And I've been on and off living here, and it's just kind of, I always keep coming back to Maine.
You're like the painters who came here for the beautiful light and the rural the rural scenes.
I like to think this way. I definitely really enjoy the nature here, and I've been very much enjoying islands and coast and, of course, Mount Katahdin and so on. Yeah, I just like to paint.
And so you choose to paint mostly landscapes or mostly people, or how do you, you know, what percentage of those do you do?
Well, I consider myself more of a figurative painter, and I do a lot of commissions. I do a lot of portraits, and I also paint figurative pieces. But landscape, it's something that fairly recent for me. So I kind of, a couple years ago, since moving to Maine, I really start enjoying just seeing the nature differently. And it really made me want to grab paints, grab brushes, and go outside and experience it. You know, and that's one of the reasons why it's kind of hard to say right now. I really enjoy painting landscapes, and people really respond to it as well. And that's what art is all about. It's all about connecting with other human beings, because it's all about provoking the emotion. And I feel when I paint the landscape, I feel the moment, and I'm hoping to convey this to the people, to the viewers, and help them to experience this moment. So, yes, it could be figurative, it could be landscape, it could be portrait, but the most important is to have the art, to have this purpose of making people feel.
In the pictures I've seen that you've done online, I think you take a snapshot very realistically, but then you also convey a mood.
That's something that I'm really trying to do. And I've been out of school a couple of years ago, and this is something that I've been really concentrating on very hard. So it's not just a realistic picture, because to me, art has a lot more to offer than just a camera. Even like photographers right now, they're trying to make their photography more artistic, more like a painting. That's why I understand that the skills is very important, and I put myself through very rigorous training to achieve those skills. But in the end, it's really about creating a mood, creating the story. And I'm glad that you mentioned it, because that's something that I'm striving for.
I'm wondering, for listeners at home that want to see your work and not just hear your voice, how they can see it.
Well, they can go to my website, which is I'm desperately need to redo and put some new works there. I have some works on Facebook, and Facebook is probably more current, but I need to be a little bit more up to date. And I'm trying. I'm working on it. You know, I'm a visual person. I'm not...
I will put links on the New Mainers Speak website, and you can also just Google Olena, OlenaBabak, and you'll see her Facebook links, and you can look from there. You are listening to New Mainers Speak on WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan. If you are just joining us, welcome. Today my guest is Olena Babak, and she was raised in Ukraine and now lives in Heartland, Maine, working as a landscape and portrait painter, teacher, and community activist. Her works can be found in many public and private collections across the country. And as we just mentioned, you can see them online. And then there's also, they're in a gallery in Kennebunkport, you were saying.
Yeah, I have a couple galleries. I have couple galleries in Florida and Northern Light Gallery, in Millinocket, which is interesting to me because it's all about Katahdin and Lionel Haven. I'm going to have a show there with Judy Taylor, dear friend of mine, in the end of the summer, and one gallery in Kennebunkport. So, yeah, it is a few places, definitely, that you can see some of my works. But you can come over to my studio.
And you won't be disappointed. They're just utterly lovely. I noticed that you are also a teacher, like both of your parents, and I wonder what you think is important for students all around the world to have, why you think it's important for them to have access to art education in their lives.
Art, again, it's like growing up, I kind of struggled with the idea, what's the purpose of art? And it's kind of comes from inside of me and saying it's important, but why? And eventually I came to conclusion that art, we are the only creatures on the earth that actually can experience emotions in the way, like through someone else's, without really experiencing pain or hurt or heat. We actually can think about it and experience it. And art happened because of it, because it's kind of a way to experience life more fully and be more human. So that's the reason, and it's kind of a hands-on thing, too, because now in the day and age where everything is so digital and everything almost touch-free, you know, you can just talk to your phone and it types for you, art is still pretty much hands-on, and it's something that kids can do on their own. They can spend time creating, not just consuming, but creating and making something, hopefully something beautiful that somehow will affect their life. So
really, it's a tool to foster empathy.
It really truly is, in my opinion. And of course, it's so many other things that, you know, when you're talking about art, you can talk about art history. And when you're looking at the art history, it's so interesting because, you know, the literature could be translated, rewritten. Art stays the same. So it's really true to the period where it actually was produced. And it's very fascinating to read about it and definitely look through the imagery and compare all this reading to the imagery and try to relate everything from country to country, from the different years and periods, and going into way back into Greek and Rome and all of that that's been happening for hundreds and hundreds of years because of the need of humans to create, to experience, to feel.
It creates a very authentic voice. And not just paintings, but also architecture. I was looking at pictures of Ukrainian architecture, and it's somewhat ancient, some of it. And it runs through a whole number of styles, and each style tells you a piece of the story as you go along, too.
Oh, absolutely. Ukraine has actually quite a unique history because, well, Ukraine, the word Ukraine means on the border, if you translate it, and because of it, it's actually got invaded by so many different cultures and countries, and it's been in war, seems like, consistently because of its land. It's one of the main resource in Ukraine. Everything really grows there. So this is something that Mother Nature contributed to that country. And because of it, a lot of other ones trying to invade and just take advantage of the natural resource. And but what happens when someone trying to come over and stay there, or I don't like using the invade word, but stay there and try to, you know, kind of do what they do, the warrior, I don't know. I really don't know.
Got stuck.
Yep, that's pretty much. I started thinking about someone coming in another room, and
yes,
I got distracted.
Yes,
yeah, I got
when
distracted.
You're partway through the show every week, the people who do the next show come around, and you can't help but notice.
They smile, they wave, and I'm like totally lost the thought.
Right.
Like,
oh, hi. Oh, hi. Ancient architecture? Oh.
No, but that's actually what, that's exactly. So they brought their influences, and they left a mark on the architecture and art and verbal art and so on and songs on the Ukrainian culture, and that's why it's kind of a unique in itself because of so many outside influences. The country is pretty large, but because so many came through the country actually kind of adopted quite a few things from the other cultures.
It's a bit of a melting pot of its own.
Oh, exactly. Well, yeah. The whole Europe is pretty much a melting pot, but Ukraine has just, history of country really depends on their location, where it's relative to all the surrounding areas. So
my next question is really wide open, especially for you as a lover of art and all things visual. I wonder what role beauty plays in your life and in your art making.
Well, in this one is, I would quote Dostoevsky. And Dostoevsky said, "The beauty will save the world." And that's pretty much sums it up for me.
That's very eloquent. I love that. Really, there's so much about art that gets relegated to the back burner in our culture. And yet, it tells a true story. It fosters empathy. And the beauty itself can transform negativity into something more usable.
That's the hope that me, I am as an artist, I have, because I really truly hope that sometimes when someone comes into a museum and seeing something beautiful, they might gonna change their mind about something that they will do this day or next day. They will try to create something and occupy their time with creating something more beautiful, and that will change the course. Sometimes it's a very small things can change the course of things that happen in life. And again, that's where I think the art, where's the place for the art is.
Changing the world. It's just a modest goal.
Well, you know, it happened, you know, like it seems like we've been talking about art since what, ancients and Greeks and, you know, Romans, and we're still talking about it. So it's something to it.
There must be.
Must be something to it.
So there's something to your calling toward art, too. And I wonder what it was, how you knew as a girl that that's what you wanted to do.
You know, sometimes things just pick you instead of you picking things. You just know. And it makes you happy. And it's something that you wake up, you want to do. You go to bed, you're thinking about it. And it varies from person to person, but for me, it was always art. Sometimes I think it's actually my mom's fault, because as a child, I wouldn't really sleep that much, and she trying to do her chores, so she would actually take the umbrella and put it over my crib, and all of a sudden, she realized I'm staring at the umbrella, I'm quiet for a period of time, and then she changed the umbrella, and that's kind of prolonged a little bit the time. And then she started putting pictures underneath the umbrella and putting over my crib. And I would stay quiet for hours and actually even fall asleep. So I kind of think that my mom is responsible for me to becoming an artist.
Well, she's responsible for noticing how much you cared about visual images. Sounds like you came this way.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes small things can change the course of events.
Wow.
In this case, you know, it was the umbrella of his pictures.
And there's much beauty in the world because your mom noticed that and knew you've created so many beautiful works.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying. We're all trying and hoping that, you know, we can get there.
So what are your dreams for your future? If it all works out perfectly, what will that look like?
If I would know what perfect is, then
what would perfect feel like?
I have no idea what perfect is. But, I'm just hoping to keep painting and have opportunities and be able to share my vision with people, to be able to share my ideas with people, be able to teach. And teaching for me is more about sharing my knowledge, my experience, because the good things needs to be passed on. And I studied a number of years and got where I'm at, And I'm not saying that I got somewhere that is like really great. It is good, but it's always really something. It's always something, you know, more and more and more. Like any creative person will probably never tell you, oh, I am there. And I'm still working. And I hope I will be working for years and years and years to come, trying to be better and try different things and try to be more positive in the community and in the world that we live in and just in my personal life.
My understanding is that you're teaching a life drawing class at Ingen in Biddeford in a few weeks, and I wondered, if is that all filled up?
No, I actually already taught a workshop there.
Oh, it's already over.
Yeah, I do teach workshops. I got invited to teach workshops in different places. I taught a workshop in North Carolina, Florida, here in Maine. So it's kind of people ask, and I teach like landscape and color theory, and I teach drawing, portrait drawing, and introduction to drawing as well. So that's kind of, and I also do some private lessons also in Bangor. I have a studio in Bangor as well.
My goodness, you get around.
Well, I love what I do. It's easy, you know, like what you said. When you're doing what you love, it's easy.
You're clearly doing what you love, and you're changing the world one painting at a time. Thank you so much for your willingness to come on New Mainers Speak today and to share your passion, your innate passion for art with us.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Olena Babak. And we will close today's program with a song she has chosen for us. Could you introduce your song selection for our listeners?
Well, Paul Simon has been one of my favorites since I actually came to the United States. And that's one of the reasons why I would like to choose the song, Sounds of Silence, one of my favorites of his.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, 'neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light. It split the night, the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silent raindrops fell and echoed in the wells of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was. The sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, tenement halls, whispers.